This morning, as we come together, we hear God's word for us, and it comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. So he's writing the book of Ephesians, and he's writing from prison. And as he's writing from prison, he's writing to encourage all of the folks who are not in prison. Now, that kind of sounds a little backwards, doesn't it? But he's writing to encourage all of those other believers, all those others who are trying to follow Jesus. And not only that, but he's thanking them, and he's blessing them, and he's praying for them. Now, you know, I just want to ask you, you don't have to raise your hand on this one, but just want to ask you, have you ever felt the power of someone praying for you? Or just even the encouragement that you get knowing that someone is praying for you? You know, in one of my first appointments, there was a little gal, and her name was Susan. She was about this high. And she was in her 90s, and Susan lived at home alone, and she walked to the post office to get her mail every day, all right? And it was about six blocks, didn't matter what the weather was, she walked to get her mail. And she would walk one direction on one side of the street, and then when she came home, she walked on the sidewalk on the opposite side of the street because she would pause and pray for every house as she passed by. You know, that was kind of the praying woman that she was. She had a little matrix that she checked off, and she had these prayers for the morning, and she had these prayers for the noontime, and she had these prayers for the evening time. That's the kind of prayer life that she had. But how that kind of really relates to me is that there was a certain time of day that Susan would pray for me every single day, and I knew what time it was by how I felt at that moment. That's how powerful her prayers were. Can you hear me yet? Oh, when someone prays for you, something happens, does it not? Now, back to God's word. Paul is praying for the folks in Ephesus. Agreed? But remember, Paul's letters are never just written for one church. Also agreed? They are written to be passed around to other churches. And so Paul is not just praying for the church in Ephesus. He's praying for the other churches that are around there. Agreed? But also remember that God's word is a living word, and so not only was Paul writing to the church in Ephesus and the churches around there, he was writing to this church that would come some 2,000 years later. Agreed? Or help me out here. Agreed? All right, so if he was writing to you this letter, he was praying for you. In fact, on this very day, in this very moment, he is seated right up there with Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, and he's praying for you. Ooh. Now that's a powerful kind of thing, right? And what we hear is that Paul is praying a prayer that he begins to his Father, right? Now I'm not using this as a point to debate about whether God is male or female or any of that kind of, I just want you to hear that when you call someone a father or a mother or a sister or a brother, that is a term of intimacy. Agreed? It's a term of relationship. It's a term that says we are together in this thing, right? Paul is writing to God, or praying to God, and he's claiming the relationship that he has with God. This intimate relationship with God. This life-giving relationship that he has with God that nourishes him even when he's in prison. Even when he is facing difficulties, he is praying this prayer. And it is critical for us to remember that, you know, we as human beings, our bodies need to be fed. Agreed? Our minds need to be fed so that we stay alert and okay. But so do our souls. Our soul also needs to be nourished and fed. And that comes from prayer. So this living word of God reminds us today that Paul is right there beside Jesus. And he's just saying to Jesus, Jesus, you see those people? Help them out. Help them out. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Love on them. Help them out. Anybody need help? Anybody need a little bit of that encouragement? Help them out, God. And so Paul begins his letter, chapter 3, verse 14, with these two words. My response. Now, some versions of the scripture, if you had your Bible open, you were following along, some would say, for this reason. All right, my response, or for this reason, I'm praying, God. You know, this is why I'm doing it. And so you're going, wait a minute, why are you doing it, Paul? I don't know all the backstory here yet. So why are you praying for me today? Why are you praying for that church in Ephesus? Why are you offering up this prayer today? You know, well, here's what Paul is saying. You know, he's reminding them of all these things that have been happening. He's reminding them of everything that they are and everything that God has blessed them with. He's reminding them of their faith that comes through Christ. He's reminding them that it's by grace that they have been saved. It's by grace that they have this relationship with God. It's by grace that they are able to live a life of hope. It's by grace that they can be forgiven. It's by grace that this is who Jesus is for them. He's reminding them of all these things. And then he says, because of all these things, for this reason, I'm praying this prayer for you. I can pray this prayer for you because of all these things. Because this is who God is. Because your salvation and your source of life is found in him. Because he is your beginning and your end. I can claim these things. I can pray these things for you. And so Paul says, for this reason, I come before God. And I come before God humbly in response to all that he has done for us. Man, that's an important kind of thing to remember, friends. You know, because we oftentimes, we just want to do good. We just want to love on somebody. And so we do something good. And they do what? They thank us for it, right? And that makes us feel what? Makes us feel pretty good, right? But Paul's kind of saying, you know, the only reason you were able to do that good thing is because God's already blessed you. So who really gets the credit for your good thing? You hear me? Who really is the source of that? So Paul says, for this reason, you know, my response to all this grace that God has given us, my response to everything that God is, my response to everything that God has done, my response is to pray. An intimate, thankful, glorious, intercessory prayer is what Paul offers up. Hear these words. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father, who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet firmly planted on love, You'll be able to take in all, with all the followers of Jesus, the extravagant dimensions of God's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb its depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Man, that's a prayer, right? That's a prayer. You know what I mean? Paul said, I want you to have it all. I want you to experience all of these things. And this is a prayer of blessing. It's a prayer that we, if we would receive it, it would greatly, we would feel greatly blessed. We would be healed in every way. I mean, just imagine that, this image of this prayer. You know, I ask him to strengthen you. Now just put your word in it. I ask him to strengthen you, Stephen. You know, I ask him to strengthen you, Alice. I ask him to strengthen you, Inez. I mean, just imagine that he's putting your, because it's his prayer for you, is it not? So I ask him to strengthen you. Wow. This is God's word for us in this day. This is a prayer of strength, a prayer of blessing in our lives. And know this, miracles happen when we are in a position to receive them. Amen? And Paul is putting us in that position, is he not? I'm asking God to strengthen you, to bless you, to give you this miracle of life. You want a miracle, you got to get in the right position. And Paul shows us what that right position was. Coming before God humbly. He came before God on his knees to pray for us. Looking to God for strength. You want a miracle, you go to the one who controls all of heaven and all of earth with all humility. And you seek him. And hear what Paul is praying as we're seeking him together, as he's interceding for us. This is what Paul is wanting in your life, that you will be strengthened. Being aware of God is one thing. But Paul is praying that these folks just wouldn't be aware of God. They wouldn't just know who God was, that they would be strengthened by the indwelling of the Spirit. That Spirit whose purpose is to give us faith, that Spirit who is to make us God's children, that Spirit that is willingly offered to the people, to us, in times that are hard, in times when we don't even know what we want or need. So that's why this prayer comes to us in this day. It's why it came to that church in Ephesus, that they would be strengthened, that we would be strengthened, that we would be able to have all the possibilities that God has for us. And it's a prayer because that's the way God communicates with us. Agreed? That's how God speaks to us. When you think about Jesus even, we think about Jesus being a person of great power. Would you all agree with that? That Jesus was a person who was God present with us. Would you agree with that? But Jesus was also a person of great prayer. Agreed? That's why his disciples came to him and said, teach us how to do that. Don't teach us how to do miracles. Teach us how to pray. Because if we know how to pray, miracles happen. We know how to pray, we'll be strong. We know how to pray, we'll be connected to God. We know how to pray, we'll never be alone. Ooh, you got to know how to pray like that. That's what Paul is saying here again in this day. You know, we need to discover that kind of power, agreed? To be a people of prayer like that. And look again then at how Paul is praying for God to do this in your life. I love these words, not by brute strength, but by inner strength. Have you ever tried to do something on your own? Have you ever channeled your inner three-year-old? Right? Me do. I don't need your help. Me do. I can handle it. Right? I can make this happen. How many of you have ever failed at that attempt? Right? Whoa. It happens, right? But this is not what Paul is praying. Paul is praying not for our inner three-year-old to come out, but for Christ to come and dwell within us. Not that we would just be in Christ, but that Christ would be in us. And his presence would be in us. Christ living in you. Now, instead of getting a bigger hammer when the project doesn't work, instead of trying to go through it with your three-year-old self, instead of trying to do any of those things, Paul is saying, let Jesus come. That's what he's praying for us. He's not just inviting us to let Jesus into our lives. He's inviting us to let Jesus dwell in us. And not just a kind of dwelling that pushes us around and makes us do whatever Jesus thinks we ought to do, but a Christ who comes and dwells in us so that our hearts are changed and we do things because we are grateful. We do things because of love. We do things because he is dwelling within us. Now just think for a minute. What does it mean for Christ to be living in you versus Christ being a guest that you've invited? Now just think about it. When you invite a guest over to your house, you say to them often, make yourself at home. Amen? Now you don't really intend for them to do that. You don't want them going through your closets. You don't want them going through your cupboards and rearranging them. Please don't open the refrigerator. Right? You don't want them putting their feet wherever they want to, eat whatever room they want to. That isn't really what you had in mind. Agreed? But you say, make yourself at home, right? Kind of how we treat Jesus sometime too, right? Jesus, make yourself at home with me, but don't change me. Jesus, make yourself at home with me, but don't go rooting around in that problem. God, I'll do whatever you want me to as long as it's on Sunday morning and not during a Chiefs game, right? I mean, that's kind of how it goes, is it not? I'm just saying, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. But, but what happens then, because that's not what happens when somebody really comes to live with you, right? And if you ever had your kids move back in with you, you know what I mean. Right? They mess up your stuff. They get in your spaces, right? When we're asking Jesus to come and dwell within us, to make his home within us, we're saying, Jesus, come and do in my home what you do in your home. Jesus, come and do in my home what you do in your home. Remake my home. Don't just be a guest. Live here. That's what Paul's praying for you and me. I don't want Jesus to be a guest in your house, Paul is saying. I want him to live in you. And then when Jesus lives in you like that, he begins to live through you. And then as he begins to live through you, you live in him all the time. Amen? That is what Paul is praying for. And Paul says when that happens, you're going to be rooted and grounded in his love. Now he uses two pictures for us because he wants us to really make sure that we get this and what it really kind of means. I mean, rooted. Just imagine. Just imagine, you know, what it means to be rooted in something. I mean, just think about, you know, well, yesterday at the Spalding household, we had taken out some bushes, small bushes it looked like to me, but bushes nonetheless. And so the guy came to pull the stumps out of the ground, you know, because we're getting ready to put in some new windows. So it seemed like a good thing to do. And those dudes had roots, you know. He hooked on to them. He backed up and went to pulling on him. The bush broke off, didn't come up, but the bush broke off and the piece went flying through his windshield. You know, yeah. It was rooted, right? It had roots that went deep and wide. We brought a stump grinder, took care of those things, but we want to be rooted like that, amen? We want to be rooted like the roots on a tall oak tree. That when the winds blow, we don't move. We stay rooted. We stay nourished. We stay flourishing because of those roots. And not just rooted, but we stay grounded. And when you think about grounded, think about the foundation that your house is built upon. You want a firm foundation, agreed? You want a foundation that nothing is going to shake your house. It's not going to sink. It's not going to move. It's not going to crack. It's going to stand. Paul says, I want you to have love like that, that is rooted and goes deep, and you are nourished by it and is grounded. And so you never sink, you never waver, you are there forever. That's the kind of love that Paul wants us to have. Donald Gray Barnhouse, a pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, he points out that this kind of love is intrinsic to all the fruits of the Spirit. You got to have this kind of rooted and grounded love if you're going to really experience the fruits of the Spirit. And hear this in this kind of way. Here's how he breaks it down. Love is the key, he says. It's the main fruit. It's the central theme. You want joy? Joy is love singing. How's that, choir? Joy is love singing. You want peace? Peace is love resting. You want long suffering? Long suffering is love enduring. You want kindness? That's love's touch. You want goodness? That's love's character. You want faithfulness? That's love's habit. You want gentleness? That's love's self-forgetfulness. You want self-control? That is love holding the reins. All those fruits of the Spirit are rooted and grounded in what? Love. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Being rooted and grounded in love. That's what Paul is praying for. That we may know God's love like that. It's critical in our lives to know that love of God. Amen? You know, I love when I go and have a service in a care facility. I especially love it even when I go to a memory care unit. Because you know when you go and you do lead worship in a memory care unit, there are two things that everybody remembers. One of them is the Lord's Prayer. You start praying that and everybody will pray it with you, even if they can't remember anything else. And the other one is Jesus Loves Me. You start singing that song, and everybody will join you in singing that song. Those are the two things we need to remember, isn't it? How to pray, and that Jesus loves me. When everything else in me fails, I can remember those two things. I have enough. How about you? That's what Paul is praying. That we would know the breadth, that we would test its length, that we would plumb its depths, that we would rise to its heights, that we would know the fullness of God's love. Paul is praying that the Ephesians and us will know how greatly that God loves us, that we would know the transforming power of that love in our lives. He is praying that we would know something that is beyond their knowing, that we would know Christ's love. A love that surpasses knowledge. The love that is so great that it can never be fully known, but But his prayer is that we would know it more and more in our lives and that we would be filled with its fullness. All of these blessings that Paul is praying on the church, all these blessings that Paul is praying on you in this day, is that we would know, that we would be filled with and know the fullness of God. Not in the sense that we have everything that God has, but rather that we would have what God is offering us. That we would be so full that we would be able to do all that he has called us to do. That we'd be so full that we would be strengthened in our inner being. That we would be as he has created us to be. And Paul has a desire that the Ephesians and all of us in this day would be blessed and changed by the greatness and the glory of God in this way. And that this would be for all believers to know and experience. That we'd be filled in that kind of way. This fullness and the power of Christ dwelling in our hearts transforms us, amen? And it transforms the way we live, even in our current situations, even if they're troublesome, even if they're finding us in prison or in the prisons of our own making. This kind of fullness creates opportunity for miracles to be known to us. Here's how Paul writes it. God can do anything, you know. Just say those words with me. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Did you hear that promise? God doesn't do it by pushing us around, but by his Spirit just working within us, gently and deeply within us. You can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. Why? Because Paul says God can do anything, you know. Or as one Bible translated, far more than we could ask or imagine. God can do it. And then he ends his prayer in a way that we all might be mesmerized. Now, when you think about being mesmerized, I mean, I kind of picture things like fireworks, you know, on the 4th of July. I love that. Or, you know, the feeling that you get when you're worshiping and everybody's got a candle held high on Christmas Eve, that's a mesmerizing kind of moment, is it not? Or the birth of a child, that's a mesmerizing kind of moment. Or maybe a beautiful sunset, that's a mesmerizing kind of moment, isn't it? When you're just in awe and wonder of the greatness and the glory and the beauty of God. That's the picture that Paul is painting. You know, God can do anything in your life, you know. Be in awe of that as you kneel before him. Be in awe of the love that he's poured out upon you. Be in awe of the way that he strengthens you from the inside out. Be in awe of who he is to you and how important you are to him. Be in awe of how much he loves you. And then Paul says, glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennial. Oh, yes. Then you just kind of hear him say, amen. Amen. Anything else to say, right? God, you can do anything in my life. To you be the glory. To you be all that I have and praise. To you, may you be lifted up through all generations. To you, O God. Oh, yes. Amen and amen. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you in this place and wherever we're joining and listening to this service, wherever we're worshiping in our homes, in our cars, in our workplaces, wherever we find ourselves today, God, thank you. Thank you for your love that fills our lives. That even in moments when we don't feel lovable, even in moments when we can't really know that you're present, we are reminded that Paul, like others, are praying for us. That your Spirit would come and live within us, not as a guest, but make his home with us. That we might make our home with him. To you, O God, may you get the honor and glory. May we forever claim you as our God, as you claim us as your children. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things in this day. Amen and amen.